This morning we're going to be thinking about listening to God, hearing from God, communicating with God. And I wonder, do you like getting letters? And I don't mean bills or statements or junk mail, circulars that may come through your door. I mean real letters. Letters and postcards. This week I've received several different letters. One was a handwritten note that was placed on my desk that was there to encourage me. One was a handwritten card given to me on my 21st wedding anniversary from my husband as we celebrated this week. One was a postcard from a friend telling me about her holiday, what she'd done, and how she'd enjoyed going to different places. One was an email from my niece telling me that my great-niece, yes, I'm not old enough, I know, but I do have two great-niece and a nephew. My great-niece, who was born 13 weeks premature, is now out of an incubator, is 7 weeks old, and is 5 pounds. Another contact I've had this week was a letter giving me instructions on how to get to my holiday cottage. And finally, I've had a text off a friend telling me she's got a new job. But I've also had phone calls from people, from friends and family, telling me that people are ill or about people who are struggling with life. Some of these communications were expected. Some were a complete surprise. But either way, I loved receiving them. Hearing from friends and family, far away or near, is such a blessing. You can relax when people have arrived safely. You share in their joy when there's good news, and you share in their pain when there's bad news. So why do we communicate with each other? We communicate on different levels, and some of our communication is to impart information, instruction, or to impart knowledge. We communicate to show support and give encouragement. We communicate so that we get to know each other and understand each other. We communicate because we're in a relationship, no matter how superficial, transient, or deep. That might be communicating with the girl on the checkout, or it might be having a deep and meaningful with a family member. And how do we communicate? Many, many different ways. Might be through the telephone. It might be person to person, face to face. It might be a written word, which these days might be a text, an email, or it could be a letter, or it could be via the World Wide Web. I know more about my nieces and nephews than their parents or grandparents because of what I read they're up to on Facebook. Sometimes it may not even be a spoken communication. It may be a gift. Gift of flowers. Maybe you've cooked a meal for someone. It may be just simply making a work colleague a brew. Sometimes it's just a look or a touch, isn't it? You just know that they're there. It might even be a hug, an embrace. What does it say to you when people take that time to contact you, to phone you, or to write a letter? It's a dying art, isn't it, writing a letter? But if you receive a letter that someone's written to you, you know they've sat down and they've taken time to write that letter to you. Someone may just pop in for a chat. We love it. We feel valued. A handwritten letter says so much. So I think we'd all agree that communication is very important to us as we interact with each other. But what about communication with and from God? How does God communicate with us? Well, we could spend a whole week and probably more if we were going to look at the different instances and the different ways that God speaks to us. But we're just going to look at a few this morning, and some of these Bible stories may be familiar to you as we read them and look at them. We will see that God spoke in very dramatic ways in some instances, in very extraordinary ways. But God also speaks in very ordinary ways too. First going to look at Moses. And we read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. So God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. But Moses was just about his normal, everyday things when God spoke to him. And at this instant, God spoke to him in an audible voice, a voice that came through a burning bush. But it spoke very directly to Moses and very personally to him. Moses needed reassurance and encouragement from God at that time. He was having trouble with the people of Israel, and God was giving him direction. Those clear, direct words were right for his situation that he was about to face. He needed to hear from God. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 20, we read about Noah. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 70 feet wide and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches on the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you and you will enter the ark. You and your sons, your wives and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of every kind of bird and animal and of creature that moves along the ground, where you will keep them alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. Noah did everything just as God had commanded. Noah heard directly from God too. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly how, but he just says he heard from God. And God spoke. But we read that God spoke very clearly and very precisely, right down to the last inch. God was in the detail. He was concerned about everything there. And Noah listened to him and acted upon it. We read in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Again, Jonah was given very clear instruction. He was given a request from God, but he chose not to obey it. But as I'm sure if you know the story of Jonah, he couldn't get away from God. And he came back in the end. But God's direction to Jonah, again, was very specific. They're just a few examples, and there are many in the Old Testament of God speaking. But what about the New Testament? In the New Testament, we sometimes hear God speaking direct to people. Sometimes we hear him speaking through Jesus. and speaking Jesus as God face to face. In Mark chapter 9, verse 7, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we read, "Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" A very direct conversation from God to his people that were gathered there. In the Gospels, we read many times when Jesus spoke to large crowds of people. And he spoke in parables. We read through the Gospels, there are many parables there. And it was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning so that the people could understand. The uneducated could understand. But at that point, Jesus was speaking to the crowds. But we also read when Jesus spoke very personally to people. He spoke to Mary after she'd washed and anointed his feet. We read that story in Luke 7. But at the end of it, he says, "She has done a great thing." Jesus spoke very personally and very tenderly to Mary. Imagine the encouragement that that must have been to Mary to hear that directly from Jesus. Jesus also speaks with compassion when he's in a crowd and they want to stone an adulterous woman. We read in John 8, 1 to 10. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' Jesus spoke to her, first of all, in unspoken words as he wrote in the sand. But then he also spoke to her with great compassion. And when he said, 'They don't condemn you, and neither do I.'" We hear Jesus speaking with anger when he rebukes the people in the temple. In Matthew 21, we read, "It is written, 'He has said to them, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.'" Jesus wasn't afraid to challenge and to put them right. He was willing to rebuke and to challenge. But there are times when Jesus has said nothing. He's just shown actions and communicated a lot through them. At Lazarus's death, Jesus wept with compassion for the sisters. It says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have they laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. And then Jesus simply wept." What an amazing communication of Jesus' compassion that he was stirred enough to cry at that situation there with Lazarus. God speaking to us is a very powerful thing. All creation that we see was brought into place when God spoke and said, "Let it be." So there are some examples of how Jesus spoke, God spoke through his word that we read there. But does God still speak to his people today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I would love it if just a note fell from heaven with, "Dear Sue, now do, go and get, I have." You know, wouldn't it be fantastic if we just got notes from God like that? And I've often prayed for those. They haven't just arrived like that. But we're going to just look at some examples of God speaking. And what the things we're going to be looking at are very much my testimony of God speaking to me. You may be thinking, well, God hasn't spoken to me like that. But this is simply how God has spoken to me. God may choose to speak to you differently. So I do believe God speaks to us today. And God speaks in different ways, in different circumstances. And over the years, I've learnt that God speaks very much still in extraordinary ways. But God also still speaks in the humdrum, the daily, everyday circumstances. Moses was about his daily duties when God spoke directly to him. And I've never had God speak to me from a burning bush. And I don't know whether any of you have either. But I do believe God has spoken to me in extraordinary ways. Not long after Graham and I were first married, money was hard. We were struggling to make ends meet. And one night, we heard a noise at the back door. It wasn't a knock at the back door, we just heard a noise at the back door. So we went and opened the door. And there on the doorstep was a food hamper. It had all the basics in it that would last us a couple of weeks. It also had some nice treats in it as well. That, we believe, was God speaking to us. It was an answer to prayer, it was an encouragement, and it was a blessing. And for us, the fact that somebody knew that was just what we needed, they'd heard God and they'd responded to that. And that was fantastic for us. Just as Noah and Jonah were given great detail, I too have known times when God has blessed us with the detail. You may have heard me share before that I don't always get it the first time. God sometimes has to say again and again just to reaffirm things to me. When we bought our house that we are now living in, we've been in it for 11 years, we were sure when we were looking for a house, we weren't going to have a new house. We were going to buy an older property, and it definitely wasn't going to be a new one. We kept looking for houses in the area we were in because we believed that was right, that we should stay in Longsands. And we just kept looking, and there was nothing. There was a problem with everything. There was nothing for us to have. Then we were drawn to the new houses. We went to look round them. And I liked it. And I thought, dare I tell Graham I like it? And I did. And then Graham said, well, actually, I like it too. And so we suddenly thought, maybe a new house is on the cards. We'll buy a new house. So we put in an offer. What we thought was quite a ridiculous offer. Very low offer for what they were asking. And Graham phoned and the lady said, well, it'll be 24 hours before we get back to you. So, okay, we thought, well, we'll go home and pray a bit more, see whether this is right. I drove home. Graham walked home. When Graham walked through the door, he said, they've rung back. They've accepted our offer. So, okay, I'm thinking, right, okay, God, this is looking more like it now. We feels right. They've accepted our offer. But I'm not sure. So with my dubious doubts still in my heart, that night I read my Bible reading. And God knows, doesn't he? God knew that I was 3 days behind in the notes I was using. And the notes that I read for that night, the scripture was from Deuteronomy 1:6-10, where it says, you have stayed here long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance. I have given you this land. Go and take possession of this land. God is in the detail. God knew that's what I needed to hear. because I was scared of moving out. It was something new and we wanted it to be right. And God answered in the detail. That, for me, was communication from God. Just as we heard God asking the people to listen to his son, so I've heard God speaking to me and asking me to listen to him. And this came through two words that were given to me from God. They were both given to me from the same lady. The first time she spoke to me, I knew she came here, but I didn't know her name. I'm talking over 10 years ago now. And at the end of the service, she came up to me and she just simply said, "This morning, I believe God has got a word for you." So, okay. And you always worry at that point that it's something negative, don't you? Think, oh dear. But she just simply said, "God wants to tell you that he loves you and that it'll be all right." She didn't know, but at that time, and I told her afterwards, that I just had surgery and I was pretty low and was feeling that a lot of things were getting on top of me. And she just simply gave me that word. To some of you, you might think, wow, that isn't really, earth-shattering stuff from God. But that word was, I believe, a preparation from God. Because nearly a year later, the same lady came and she said to me, "I believe I have a word from God for you." I hadn't really spoken to her through that time. She didn't know what was going on in my life at all. But because of the first word and believing that that was prepared from God, I was ready. I was receptive to receive this second word that she gave to me. And the words were simply, and she explained at the time, she said, "I don't know what it means, but I believe you will." She said, "It seems a strange word, but I believe it's right for you." And she just simply said the words, "full-time ministry." And at that time, as some of you will have read and heard my story before, that was a time when I was processing leaving the job I was in to coming working here full-time. And so that, I believe, was a direct word from God for me at that time. When God speaks, we have to listen. Just as the adulterous woman received love and compassion when God spoke to her, we too can experience God speaking with love and compassion. And I have experienced that. When I first moved here, I came with good intentions as an 18-year-old of finding a church, getting involved. And I started coming here those first few weeks. But then after that, I had 6 months where I turned my back on God, where I wandered away from God and said, "I can do it on my own." Those times were the most miserable 6 months of my life, looking back. And at the end of that 6 months, I went to a meeting. And I'm sure some of you will have been in those meetings where it felt like you and the preacher. There was actually 2,000 people in that meeting, but it could have been for all the world, me and him. Because the word he gave that night was directly spoken to me from God and was about my turning my life around and coming back to God. So I took that word on board and I came back. And as I came back here that night, I felt guilty, I felt wretched. And I remember now, and those of you that know the building, we were in what is now Oak. That was the church worship area then. And it had a sort of like an entrance porch. And I came into there. And as I came into that place, I just stood and wept. Because they were singing, "I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here, in the grace of God, I stand." And I believe that that was for me as I came back to God that night. A God of compassion, a God of grace spoke to me. God has spoken to me many times through the preaching of his word, here and in other places. God knows where we're at, and it always amazes me that he will speak to us wherever we are, whether we're here or away. And God often speaks clearly to us when we are away. And I don't know whether that's just because it's different surroundings or whether it's just because we're relaxed and we're on holiday and we're just ready to receive from God. Sometimes it may be just that God catches us off guard. But God speaks to us in different places. Twice a year I go away on a quiet day or a retreat day. This is a day when nothing's planned. It's just me and my Bible and my notebook. A time to just sit and wait on God. So often we're too busy giving God our lists and our requests and just reeling everything off to him that we forget to take time to listen to him. But these times when I've sat and listened have become very precious as I've sat and waited on God. God's spoken to me, maybe through some verses I've read. I take a songbook with me, and sometimes just simply reading songs that have been written, those words speak clearly and powerfully to me. When I have these retreat days, I always go to somewhere beautiful to look at. And sometimes just sitting, looking at nature, God speaks to me through what I see. God has blessed me and encouraged me many times. When I've been given a card or a note, something with a scripture on it, it was just what I needed to hear at the right time. Sometimes just receiving a card from someone has blessed and encouraged me, and it was just what I needed for that day. These are just some of the ways in which God has spoken into my life. Sometimes in an extraordinary way, sometimes in a very ordinary way. Through these instances, it wasn't always God speaking directly to me. It was God using you and others to speak to me. So, is God able to speak to you today? Or is all our communication with God one way? We are busy. We do get busy people. And sometimes we rush into God's presence. And as I say, we just give him our list. Lord bless. Lord please do. Can you make? Have you got? So are we going to hear from God today and in the days ahead? It may be as you read God's word. It may be as you listen to a message. It may be through others as they bring God's word to you, or as they simply bless you. It may be in allowing ourselves quiet spaces. It may be in extraordinary ways. But are we looking and listening for God to speak to us? How would it change us as individuals and us corporately as a church if we were waiting and listening for God to speak to us? What is God saying to you today? Is God giving you a word of encouragement? Is God giving you a word of guidance or instruction? Is he simply showing you his love and his compassion for you? Or is God challenging you or even rebuking you? Is God prompting you to be used by him? As I've already said, many other people have been influential in God speaking to me. Maybe God's speaking to you and asking you to step out in faith, to bring a word to someone, to show an act of kindness to someone, or to simply write them a note, to bless them and encouraging them. God needs us to be listening to him so that we can be used by him, but also so that we can receive from him. Look for God in the everyday. But don't be surprised if God speaks to you in the extraordinary. Respond to God in however he communicates with you. And remember, he delights having a relationship with you. He delights communicating with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that sometimes you speak to us in a still small voice. You just witness within our souls. Lord, sometimes it's like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, when we simply are just bowled over by it. But Lord, we just pray that however you want to speak to us, Lord, however you want to communicate with us, Lord, I pray that each one of us would be receptive to your spirit. We'd be receptive to your word. Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive from you. Lord, if you want to speak to us as individuals or as a church, Lord, may we be receptive to receive from you. Father God, take our hearts, take our minds, take our ears. Lord, keep speaking. Keep this relationship going with us. Lord, help us to just find the time to simply listen and receive from you. For your glory, we ask these things, Lord. Amen.